madness. This has been a heck of a week. When you think about Major League Baseball moving its All-Star game from Atlanta, Georgia, as opposition to these new voter laws that they have there, you have former President Donald Trump talking about boycotting these corporations that for the first time in a long time are being good corporate community partners, supporting those who and everyone that at the ballot box, that everybody should have this access to voting in this country. Then you have Mitch McConnell, who was a big proponent of Citizens United and a big proponent of corporations getting involved in politics by donating ungodly amounts of money to campaigns. And now he's telling them to stay out of politics, but don't stop, you know, giving us money. I guess they think we're all crazy, but we're not. And we see what is unfolding. Joining us on the live line, one of my favorite attorneys, Attorney Richard Bell. He's a New York City civil rights and liability trial attorney and author of Voting, The Ultimate Act of Resistance. And I'll give you his website and all that information a little later. Hi, Attorney Bell. How are you today? Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, I'm so well, Perry, and thank you for so much for having me back. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. So let me ask you this. Why do you think, and just be as open and honest as you can possibly be, why do you think that that there are so many legislatures, state legislatures, that are trying to change different laws or to make it more difficult to vote? What happened, in your opinion? I know what happened, but what do you think happened?
Oh, it's real simple. It's a backlash to black and brown voters turning the presidential election and the runoff Senate elections. Mm-hmm. And the Republicans know that they can't win straight up when everybody's allowed to vote. So the best they can do, in their opinion, is to depress the black and brown vote, and then they'll have a shot at winning. And some of their own people have actually said it out loud, so we really don't have to even guess.
So you don't even have to guess. So there have been, of course, there's been a lot of pushback. And as we know, there are at least three legal challenges to Georgia's newly enacted law changing state election procedures. So what do these legal challenges look like? I mean, can they change the law, or is this something that's going to have to go all the way to the Supreme Court?
Okay, so number one, Perry, so we got the three challenges, the ACLU suit, the NAACP suit, the Georgia Project suit. Basically, bottom line to answer to your question, the simple answer is going through the courts is the best way to try to do it.
Okay.
Am I particularly optimistic? No, for two reasons. Number one, the federal courts are full of Trump appointees because of Mitch McConnell in the last 4 years.
Uh-huh.
So they're not the most receptive. And we know the Supreme Court is the one in 2013, the Roberts Court is the one that struck down Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act.
Shelby versus Holder.
Yes, Shelby Holder, exactly, which required pre-clearance, meaning certain southern states would have to go to the Justice Department before they could enact voting rights laws. And what happened immediately after they struck it down?
Uh-huh.
That's when you saw all the voter ID, the poll closings, the poll purges, the decrease in early voting. That's when all of that happened almost immediately thereafter. So I think it's a big uphill battle. There are terrific lawyers that are bringing these cases.
Okay.
And on the merits, I like the cases. But on the merits and what the judges do may be two different things.
All right. So this is what the irony that I find. So you think that there should be, there are people out there, and Donald Trump, who doesn't, I haven't seen anybody as of yet talking about voter ID. But you don't want, you want to give voter IDs. You want voter ID laws, but you don't want a COVID passport. Whenever they talk about their civil rights and the civil rights of Americans, they're only talking for one populace in the United States. They're not talking about black and brown people.
Oh, no, no. It's the civil rights of the Republican voting base.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
Okay.
Absolutely. And that's certainly not black and brown people. And the biggest problem I see, Perry, if we kind of like just focus for a moment on the Georgia restrictions.
Okay.
Because there's a couple of them that haven't gotten a lot of publicity that are really oppressive. One of the things they did was they took away these mobile RV voting centers. And in Fulton County, Metro Atlanta, they had two RVs that went around. And do you know that the number of people that voted that way was almost equal to the entire state differential for Biden winning? So I don't think that was a coincidental one when they were thinking of taking that away from voters.
So they said no more mobile voting. Is that
no more? Because there's over 11,000 people that voted that way in Atlanta, and we know which way they voted. So let's get rid of that one. So that didn't get much publicity. And one of the others that didn't get a lot was if you go to the wrong polling place, which a lot of people do, especially in black and brown neighborhoods where they've closed so many polls.
They close them and move them and everything else.
Exactly. So if you go there before 5 p.m. on election day, the new law says, you know what, you cannot fill out one of those paper provisional ballots that we'll check later to make sure of your address. No, we're not accepting that. You have to go to the new polling place. Now, people work. People have childcare things to do. So they're now making it really restrictive for you. That's another really bad one that hasn't gotten publicity. And the last one, which I don't think is going to be something the courts are going to do something about, was the legislature, the Republican legislature.
Right.
Now appoints the chairperson of the state election board.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of the Secretary of State as a voting member. And they now, yeah, unbelievable, because he actually did the right thing. Well, I'm not a big fan normally, but they literally took away his right to vote in the board, which he used to be the head of.
Right.
And do you know that the Republican legislature, under this new law, can suspend county election officials and take over their election duties if they find malfeasance, whatever that may mean? So you can just see a scenario where they come into Fulton County and say, you know what, you're doing things wrong here. We're taking this over. That is dangerous. That is real, real dangerous.
You know, it's just, it's laughable, it's ludicrous, it's sad, but guess what? They're going to be able to, in some cases, get away with this.
Yes, and things like that legislative thing, most of the times the courts defer to legislatures, because in order to show either disparate impact on racial groups or intentional racism, it's a high standard to begin with. And like I said, we don't have the most receptive judges in the federal courts after the last 4 years. So that's a big problem. I know when I go to court, I always look to see who the judge is, because it gives me a little idea where my trial might be going.
So Stacey Abrams' sister is in the federal courts in Georgia, right?
I'm sorry?
Stacey Abrams' sister is a federal court judge, and she's the reason why, I believe, can't remember what it was, but she struck down something in Georgia. I can't.
Okay, I'm. Well, yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
Next,
so I don't want to comment.
Right, next time. I mean, later on when you have some time, look that up. But the reason why I was thinking of Stacey Abrams is because before they even were talking about, you know, changing the laws, there was a Stop Stacey movement. And this is just a result of the Stop Stacey. Do you think that they really were, that these grown white men are really fearful of Stacey Abrams in Georgia right now?
These cowards, and they are cowards, mm-hmm. because they don't want to play by the rules, they should have named the act the Stop Stacey Abrams from Becoming Governor in 2022 Act. because that's their immediate concern in Georgia. That and Reverend Warnock running again in 2022. So, yeah, they're in great fear because you know what? She's a lawyer. She understands the law. Her organization is excellent. They know how to work the system properly. So they are in great fear of her. And what was the emergency to do this a few months after the runoff, after the secretary, the Republican Secretary of State of Georgia, publicly said that this election was fair, it had integrity, it was the gold standard of how to run an election. It was reliable, it was secure, it was efficient. He used all of these words. So what why are we going in search of a solution? We have no problem.
So that this will never happen again, that the African American vote and others will not define or elect the president of their choice. That's what this is all about. I'm surprised 100%. That gentleman, the former Secretary of State, I'm surprised we haven't found him hanged somewhere. I am just in shock.
He is public enemy number one for the Republicans because he would not overturn election, and he had the integrity to say, you know what, I voted for Trump, but I have to say the election was fair. There was no fraud. So we've built this whole legislation, and these other states now, Texas and Arizona and Michigan, all these states that are looking at it, they are all basing it on a lie. We all know there wasn't fraud. Every court looked at it.
Right. We're talking to Attorney Richard Bell. Attorney Bell, you mean to tell me there are more than 250 new election laws under consideration throughout the United States right now?
Actually, Perry, just the other day, I think it was the Brennan Center, I saw it's now approximately 360 in 47 states. So 361 in 47 states. I saw it on the Brennan Center for Justice. So it's even worse. It's worse than I saw 2 days ago.
So what has to happen in Congress, in the Senate, to stop this? That's what I want to know. Is there anything that President Biden and the House and the Senate, while they have control of these two houses, that they can do?
They better get the exemption for the filibuster, at least for civil rights and voting rights, because there's two things right now that could basically stop these things in their tracks. And that's the For the People Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. The John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act would overturn that Shelby decision, make those southern states go back to pre-clearance. So before they ever do any more voting rights changes, they would have to get approval by the Justice Department. And I trust our Justice Department now, so that would be excellent.
Okay.
And the For the People Act is just terrific. It requires online voter registration, automatic voter registration, same-day registration, extended vote by mail, pre-registering 16-year-olds. I mean, it has almost everything all of us would want. But if you don't have those filibuster exemptions for at least voting rights, it's going nowhere. Biden supports it. Obviously, most of the Democrats do. But those two things would basically undo what these states are trying to do, because those laws would apply in federal elections. And as a practical matter, every 2 years there's federal elections in those states. It would be extremely difficult for them to tailor their state elections to be different than the federal elections.
Do you think Manchin is a closet Republican?
This is what I think. I think it's the best we can get from a place like West Virginia. I think he is, but I'll put a big but there. He is enough of a moderate Republican and Democratic holding that we could move him along, at least on many of these things, just like maybe we can move him along on infrastructure. He may not get 100% of what we want, but hopefully we move along, because the problem, Perry, is we don't have anybody else but him who's going to control that final vote that we need.
Oh, gosh. I know,
it's oh, gosh. It's oh, gosh, Perry.
I've just been having all these different oh, gosh moments. But I'm thinking about Denver, Colorado, which has some of the what I think some one of the best voting processes there are in the United States. And you had a 95% turnout because of that, because they had the drop boxes, because they mailed every eligible voter in the city of Denver a ballot. Why would people listen to this? So I think what has been said is that there are more registered Democrats in the United States than there are Republicans, even though I would say a large percentage of Democrats today would say that they are independent voters. Would you agree or not agree with that?
Yes, yes. I always wonder what that means when they say they're independent, because the parties are so far apart.
Right.
I'm not sure what that really means anymore, but yes, I would agree.
So as an attorney, as a practicing attorney like yourself, have you ever experienced, I mean, how would you characterize being an attorney? I mean, like being a journalist, like at this time, it's just like the craziest thing in the world. But being an election attorney, a civil rights attorney, what has it been like for someone like you, Attorney Bell?
It's like being in the emergency room, except you don't get any break between shifts. That's really what it's non. It's just nonstop. You fall asleep for 10 minutes, and the next thing you know, another state's come up with 10 more bills.
And so what is up to now? What has been your role? Tell our listeners some of the things that you've been involved with.
Sure. In my book, Voting, the Ultimate Act of Resistance, I talk about my experience both in the courtroom representing voters on Election Day to get their voting rights restored when someone's turned them down at a polling place. And I go to different states, and I'm that guy in line that gives you information or tells you how to solve your problem. In 2020, I was out in Pennsylvania. I always go to predominantly black and brown election polling places because, unfortunately, we know those are the places that are targeted.
Right.
So those are the places I have to go to. And I advise people, and that's why I tell in the book over 20 years how I tell people, you go back in there, they're not telling you what's true. And you tell them you're not leaving until, at the very least, you're filling out that provisional ballot. Because many times the advice given is just wrong. And I'll tell you, it is almost always black and brown people they're doing this to. I mean, it's coincidence, right, Perry?
No, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, whatever you say, yeah, it's a coincidence.
Yeah, right? Because that's what I always say. I always say when I talk to the lawyer that's inside the poll, I'm outside, I said, mention to them the percentage of what the people look like who keep coming out here.
Yeah. Well, let me just say, Attorney Richard Bell, it is always so good to talk to you. Give our listeners your website and then tell them where they can get the book.
Great. It's 877callaw.com, callaw.com. And the book, Voting, the Ultimate Act of Resistance, it's on Amazon.
All right, then. It's always good to talk to you. I'm sure I'll be talking to you again.
Perry, can't wait for the next time we're going to be talking.
All right, then. Attorney Richard Bell.